broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The stewardess said, both pilots.
I am never going to sell infused whipped cream that has alcohol infused.
If the holiday season fares as well as we expect.
Christianity is not the first, nor the fifth, nor the tenth.
That is a threat on the radio.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And every time we say that,
that is a threat.
Every night here we are going to the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows cannot. Tonight we've got Kirk Quede and Guy Barton from Charleston, West Virginia to talk about a piece of legislation called the Hometown News or Keep News Local legislation, and we're going to find out what that's about. It's interesting. They want to take stories that are not national news stories and are only made national news stories because someone has blogged them a lot, or someone who's not doing their job nationally picks up one and decides, well, I got nothing to do, and, you know, I'm not doing, I can't find any news. So they're going to try and keep all this stuff local, and they do have, we do have one story to talk to you about tonight that references that. And they have a few others. Then later on, Pastor William Rennick is going to join us to talk about Steve Johnson, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, who tweeted last night after a ball game he was involved in yesterday. He tweeted that dropping a potential game-winning touchdown pass against the Pittsburgh Steelers was God letting him down. And he put that up on Twitter. We're going to talk to Pastor Rennick about what he thinks of that sort of public talk. Anyway, welcome to our show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhendryshow.com, with live streaming video of our show right now if you want. And if you do, you'll see me clean shaven. Some of you probably have seen me with the big, long ZZ Top beard, and I decided to cut it off today. As I said during the pre-show, you know, we do an hour-long uncensored pre-show on video before we actually hit the air. I said I was going through a phase, and obviously I've gone through it. Because I went and I bought the scissors today and I hacked it off, you know, and I bought a whole bag of Bic razors because you can't just, a beard like that, you don't just cut it with scissors. Then you have to shave, and to shave that, it's, I don't know, there's a period there between the cutting with the scissors and the razor. It's like mowing really high grass with just a regular lawnmower. You got to take a few runs at it. So I'm sure Bud and Robert will have something to say about that in our news hour later on in the program. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And as I said, online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show right now. We have archives over there for you as well. I want to get on the line here. Kirk Quede, Guy Barton, and I believe the guys are in Charleston, West Virginia, because we'd had a late night last night talking to you guys about some of the legislation you were talking about. Guy, this was a piece of legislation, as I understand it, called a Hometown News Bill?
Well, Hometown News Bill, Phil, is a very good description, but the actual technical name of the bill is the Keeping News Local. And the reason why we've called it that is because we want it to be as descriptive as possible. We don't want anybody thinking that we're trying to tell newspaper publishers or newspaper editors, whatever they call them.
Yeah, like a newspaper reporter, Phil.
And right.
Yeah, we don't want them to say the thing we're telling their job. All we're trying to say is there is a terrible injustice being done by the news media in this country, and we want to correct that every bit we can. And that's what that's about. So.
All right. Now, there's a story today out of Norwalk, Pennsylvania. A couple was arrested after going into a bar and having a few drinks while they left their infant daughter and son outside in a running car. Gina Rodriguez Zumba and Franklin Torres Barrera. And they were arrested. They live in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Arrested, charged with two counts each of leaving a child unsupervised and risk of injury. All right, and that's out of Norwalk, Pennsylvania. It was originally in the Stamford Advocate, but you feel that that story being even spoken out loud by me tonight is an injustice.
Well, yes, it is, and I'm glad that you pointed that out, because as I know Guy was sort of tugging me on the sleeve when you were doing that. He was saying basically, well, look, now you are reporting that story.
Yeah, they tell that the injustice. that story got reported one time, that local story. But you know, I'll do it again.
And well, the thing that you guys find fault with is that this is even national?
Exactly. That is a story that should never be a national news story. I'm not saying they should not be arrested. I'm not saying that they should not be held accountable for what they did. But I am saying that there was a time about 10, 15 years ago where a story like that would be a local story only. And today, because of a culture of people who want to just put anything they find on the internet, now that story is all around the world. Now, what does that do? That takes Ms. Zumba Rodriguez and Mr. Barrera, and it turns them into arch criminals in the faces, in the minds of millions of people all over the world. And I don't think that's what's intended here. You see?
Yeah, so the bill, Phil, basically said that you cannot re-report a story, the written and local in nature, unless it has some bearing nationally on people. In other words,
well, so some people would say that this story about keeping a kids in a car while you're in a bar drinking has bearing nationally.
No, and I'll tell you why it doesn't have any bearing nationally. That's a story that has been going on since time began. We all know about a child being left in a car. We all know about mom, dad running to get themselves a drink. That's not new.
That's the nature of that story, Phil, is so old that now they are reporting it national. They're trying to hurt the people.
Yeah, they're trying to hurt these two people, and I think it further hurts these two people because they are Hispanic. And so you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, look at this. Here's some Hispanic, and they left the kid in a car. And that's the way it is with those people. Well, this kind of thing is a local story only.
I don't think you've actually addressed my point, though. Leaving children in a car, unattended, a running car, why isn't that a national story?
Well, because that story is a local story. That's a story that's been done a million times, you know.
Right. The story has been reported locally by local newspapers and local TV stations for years and years and years. I had another story that happened here in West Virginia. A man left his son in a car seat by the side of the road for 45 minutes. Now, have you ever heard of that happening before?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a man leaving his son in a car seat by the side of a road?
I suppose I have.
All right. Then it's not big national news. So why'd that get reported as?
Yeah, they get reported national because the news people don't want to do their job, go out and look for news. So they just report any garbage they find.
That's right. And that's a very good word the guy used there. They're using any kind of garbage to report because they can't do their job.
Well,
And the same thing with this couple in Pennsylvania. Have you ever heard of two children left in a running car before?
Well, I suppose I have.
That's exactly right. And yet, look at this story here now, national news.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and welcome to the program tonight, guys. We have Guy Barton and Kurt Quaidy from the West Virginia State House on the line from Charleston, West Virginia, actually across the street having themselves some dinner over, I guess you guys are over at Rosie's again tonight. But I wanted to, what we're doing here is we're talking about what stories are legitimately national stories and what stories are not. You don't want these to be reported at all.
We have a piece of legislation now that we have introduced the West Virginia State House that would make it a criminal offense to re-report a story from a small town newspaper or a blog with limited readership as a national story, to make it a criminal offense and punishable by either a prison term or a fine.
Now, why would you make that a criminal offense?
Well, Phil, I'll answer that question. Phil, because it defamed the people involved. These two people left the children in their car. It was running. We understand that's a bad thing, but it's not unusual, and it happened all the time. And on top of that, it's been reported a lot. So by putting this out on a national news, what has happened? You repeated the name tonight. These two people now nationally, internationally, have been vilified
They've been defamed internationally. Now, I don't know if it's, you may disagree with me, but I don't think a man should be vilified internationally or nationally simply because he left two children in a running car while he had a drink.
Well, you know.
Well, you think long and hard, Phil, before you answer that question, you know.
You may find it very emotional, but do you really believe that a man should be put on trial before the whole world because he left his kid in the car when he went and got himself shot in the water, a beer back, something like that? You know?
You're asking me a question. Does a man deserve to be vilified in front of the whole world because he left his children in the car while he went into a bar to get a drink with the car running? I don't know how to answer that. You know,
that's exactly right. You don't know how to answer that because you can't. You don't want to say, well, yes, he does, because that seems too harsh. But you also don't want that man to be unpunished.
Oh, I want him to be punished.
Right. So let him be punished, and maybe they report that in the hometown newspaper.
You put it as right here in a Stanford advocate.
See, this is a tough one. I know it's very hard for people to understand, but just because a man in a local town beat up a kid, okay? Well, they've been beating up kid all the time. Does that deserve to be in the headline in New York Times? I don't think so. You reported on a story not too long ago about a guy that beat someone up in an outhouse or some ridiculous thing like that. They made that a national story, too.
Yeah. And that wasn't saying he can't do that. Can't make it a national story. And
so you guys are saying that these two people who went into this bar and left the kids in the car should only be reported on locally, right?
That is exactly what we're saying, yeah. It does not deserve to be a national story, which is what you made it by reporting on it, you know.
And you would read that.
Well, your bill is not going to make it criminal for me to report it.
The bill would make it criminal for anyone to redistribute a story like that for national distribution. The bill would make it a crime for a blogger or someone taking a little town story like that and turning it into a big deal, because this has been going on for a long time.
The whole point, Bill, is people have been leaving kids in cars for a long time.
No, I understand that. People have been leaving kids in cars for a long time. People have been leaving baby seats by the side of the road for a long time. People have been doing a lot of crazy stuff, and you guys are saying it was only reported locally up until the Internet.
Right, and now the Internet makes it into a big story, like it's the Hindenburg blowing up, or it's a big, like 9/11.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They turn this into 9/11. It's not 9/11. It's a man leave a kid in a car. Now, it's not good, but I just dare say 9/11. You know.
Well, I don't think it's 9/11 either. It's a couple busted in bar with young kids.
Yeah, but see, look at you reporting that on a national radio show and it only with a local store. I find that heartbreaking. Not heartbreaking, you know.
In Stamford, Pennsylvania.
That's correct.
877-876-PHIL. Police arrested a Pennsylvania couple drinking at an uptown bar on Sunday morning while their daughter and young son were outside in a running car. And they were charged with two counts of leaving a child unsupervised. This is interesting. The two guys we're talking to, Guy Barton and Kirk Quitty, they're not saying that we shouldn't, that story shouldn't be reported. It shouldn't be reported nationally. It's not a national story. It's a local story. It is not a story that should be blown up into a national story because it advertises the names of these two people far beyond their own community. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and they make it a crime to redistribute a story like that nationally. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. What stories really warrant national coverage as opposed to just being local stories? Are we now making local stories national stories? With me is Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State House, where they are tonight, and tomorrow they'll be debating a bill that they've put before the assembled body there, called the Hometown News, or the Keep the New Local News Local bill, in which case you'd make it a criminal offense, gentlemen, to repeat or re-report these stories nationally.
The point being, Phil, we've got a story right now. This is an incident that happened where a man had punished children. He put them, because that grocery store owner, in a freezer.
Good God.
Well, that's right, Phil. We don't condone it. You have to understand. We don't condone
it. No, we don't condone it at all. But what we want to make sure, this story, before this man's name is made national, before the children's name is out, that we are able to make this story part of under the bill.
So that story cannot be reported?
So that story cannot be reported. That is a local story. It's a scary story. And it has to do with the way a parent treats a child, how a parent may discipline a child. But it has no business at all being on a national level. That's a local story. Now, before we had the Internet, before we had cable news, we had local stories. But now, because we have cable news, we have Internet, now all this gets picked up.
And the reason, Phil, you said it. There are a whole lot of ways of delivering news, but not enough news, you know.
Well, I mean, you guys just a story of a man who put his kids in a freezer?
He was trying to discipline the children. Now, my understanding, and the guy has the information, are the children okay?
Well, the children are in the hospital, but they're fine, yeah.
The children were hospitalized.
That is correct. But I'm going to put it to you. Before you and other people in the media turn this into, you know, a free speech or freedom of the press issue, this is not free speech or freedom of the press. What this is, you can report it, but report it where you should report it. It's local, it's not national.
Phil, this is not the first time.
Well, that's the argument you guys are using, is this is not the first time, okay?
But these parents have been abusing children as long as I've been alive. They've been abusing children ever since Moses was in a basket on the river. You know, they've been abusing children. It's never going to change. I mean, we want to make it better, and we will make it better. But this is not news. This is not a news flash. A man put a child in a freezer. A man put a kid in a car seat, bounced him off a highway.
That's all not news.
That's not news, you know.
Well, but still, it's a shocking thing.
When you say shocking, that means you want it for its prurient value, not for the educational value, and that's what we're talking about.
877-876-PHIL. So if I say it's shocking, that I only want to read it for a prurient reason, which is to just be titillated. I don't care about the children. I don't know that I agree with that. Steve in Rockford, Illinois, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just wondering, who's going to decide what local news is and what is national news?
Well, if it's originally a story from a local hometown newspaper, you know, and this one is Sanford Advocate.
So, isn't there like something in the
Constitution? Well, now, let me ask you this. You a consumer, aren't you a consumer of the news? You read the news, sir, don't you?
I read the news every day. There's one thing I like about the news. It's something that is guaranteed to me in the Constitution. It's called the freedom of press and the First Amendment.
We're not talking about no freedom of press. You have freedom of press if you get the Sanford Advocate.
You're not going to have freedom of press if you're going to tell people that they can't move a story from one newspaper to the other.
Only a certain story, not every story, just a certain story about a man put a kid in a freezer. What good? Let me ask you a question. That man going to be nationally known, he's going to be internationally known. What good that doing that man? To be internationally vilified.
That's a very good point.
I'll tell you what. The people that hear that story are not even going to remember that guy's name tomorrow morning. But they're going to remember what he did. And it's not a matter of what good it does for anybody or anything. It's a matter of First Amendment rights.
Well, it's the First Amendment right. Nobody's saying it ain't the First Amendment, because you can read that.
You are, because you're trying to make a law against it.
No,
you can't make a law against something in the Constitution. It's guaranteed.
No, I'm not making a law against it. Well, they do it all the time. We have gag orders. We have freedom of information. Some information is let out slow. Other information you get right away. What we're saying is that story is not being censored. That story is just simply not going from a local newspaper to ABC, you know.
You put a man like that on ABC? I don't know.
Well, if a guy's putting his kids I was going to say, Steve, if a guy's going to put his kids in a freezer.
They put his kids in a freezer. They've been doing that to kids for years. For years and years. How does that make that national? That's my whole point.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. If a guy, you know, these, some of these stories, they're not national stories. They're just local stories. We have Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy on to say that, you know, some dude that left his kids in the car, that's not national. We'll be back. Phil Hendry. Hold on.
Phil Hendry.
Say that. Say that again, what you just said.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State House here in Charleston. Were you still working on a piece of legislation? I don't imagine that's the only one you're working on tonight, though, guys. There must be some other things that are in the mix. But one of them is this hometown, to bring the guys back up, hometown news bill.
Well, there are other things that have more to do with President Obama, you know, has frozen wages on federal workers. We're talking about a similar thing here in the state of West Virginia, Phil. So there are a lot of things that we're talking about and dealing with, but this is the most important, I think, because if you are on the internet and you're on the cable and you're looking at all these blogs and you're seeing these people reporting on this and that, now you see a man left his child in a car, went into a bar, had himself a drink. Come out, and the child no worse for the wear, but someone's going to arrest him. All right, that's against the law. I understand that. Guy, yeah.
But then the man goes on national news. Now, suddenly, people know this man. He's on national news, and that man, for the rest of his life, is like Hitler, you know.
That's exactly right. But if you take the average man and turn that man into Adolf Hitler, and why is that? Because he put his child in a freezer. It's bad. And
any man that would stick his children in a freezer to punish them is an animal, okay? And
yeah, but does he deserve national defamation as opposed to just a local paper?
Did the children? You said the children had to be hospitalized.
Well, they had to be hospitalized. The father was very, very contrite.
He might be contrite, but you know.
The point is, Phil, these are not news stories.
They're not news stories?
They're not new. These stories have been reported for years and years and years and years, and all of a sudden now, it's headline news. And I'll tell you, these men are paying for Ted Turner's good time with their name. They're paying for Ted Turner's good time with their name. It's going to make them Adolf Hitler, so he's having some good time.
I don't agree with that. Ted Turner's, what, you talk about headline news? All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So, these stories are local in nature, according to these guys, and should remain local, not national. The story of the couple going into the bar and leaving their children in a car that's running. The story of the man that put his kids in a freezer to punish them. The story of a man who left his infant son on the side of the road in a car seat for 45 minutes. Terrible stories all, but hardly new. Here is Steve in San Leandro, California. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Steve.
Hi, Phil. And gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Assemblyman, I guess is what I would call you. I have a question for you.
With this law, state senator.
Well, state senator, state of West Virginia.
Okay.
State senators,
so
okay.
All right. So let's say I would end up, I was living in Wheeler, and I heard a story like this, and I called Phil Hendry and talked to him about this story, you know, just as part of general conversation on a talk show. Would your law
you're not listening. You're not listening. We said re-reporting the story, see? And when you publish it in a local, you publish a local paper, and then you re-report it. We're not talking about a talk show or anything like that.
We're talking about a hometown. Okay. Now, you got to listen. You got to talk less and listen. You got to talk less and listen. All we're talking about here.
Well, the man's asking a question, okay?
I know he's asking a question, but it's off point. We're not talking about a talk show. We're talking about news.
Yeah, look, you and San Leandro, I never heard of San Leandro. If you have some awful child abuse story in your town, I don't need to know about it. I don't need to know here in West Virginia what happened in San Leandro with a child. That's all we're trying to say.
Well, what about,
so you're not talking about talk shows?
No, we're not talking about a talk radio show. People bring up all kinds of things every day. I can't control that. But this man still talking. I keep listening to you sputtering on the line. Hold on.
Well, the guy's trying to get a word in. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So, but you're saying, oh, the Internet, and you know, somebody reports it on a blog and that type of thing. Phil Henry not only broadcasts on air, he also broadcasts over the
all
Internet.
Right.
So you're
I think they've answered your question, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Tony. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, so, you know, say somebody does take a local news story and posts it online, which is against what our friends here are saying. How do they plan to enforce the law if they're not within the state of West Virginia?
Well, if they're not in the state of West Virginia, obviously that's subject to the state law that is it is extant in that locale. But hopefully what we do is make this into something that is national in nature, or there is some reciprocity, so that if you're reporting a story, say, in whatever state you're in, I don't know what this gentleman's in.
He's in Mississippi.
All right. A man put his kid in a freezer. Now the Mississippi paper reports that. I can't do anything about a Mississippi paper, but what I can do is take the local source that fed that story and fine him.
So in other words,
sure.
You get a local paper here, then you take him and you give him the fine, go to jail, send the penalty.
So then what you're saying is that the local publication cannot post their entire newspaper to the Internet.
I didn't say that at all. They can do whatever they want. But you know as well as I do that there are copyright infringement notices, and if you post that prominently, all right, and a man still takes that story and prints it, well, now he's in violation of copyright. So what I would say to that man, a local paper, I'd say, you better enforce that copyright. He said, I don't want to enforce that copyright. Well, then you're going to run afoul of the hometown news law.
So in other words, you're going to threaten this guy with either allowing his paper's copyright to be infringed.
That's correct.
Or you're going to slap this hometown news law on him.
That's exactly right. You see, you're not allowed to reprint without permission. If you give a man permission, you're basically breaking the law, which says you cannot disseminate a story like that. See, this is not a very tough law to understand.
Well, it's not a tough law to understand, but it's a law that seems to me. All right, Tony, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Obviously, people need this explained to them.
Well, you see, Phil, most people, here's the thing that I wanted to say. And I wanted to wait a while before I said it because I did not want anyone to misunderstand it. It's a very complex law. There's no question about it. I know that people are having a hard time understanding it. And I appreciate that. I truly do. But you don't have a large, what do you call it, that?
Brain.
You have a large brain pool. People understand freedom of speech, freedom of press, I should say.
Well, what's to understand? People in our country, you know.
Hold on, let me explain something. I'm going to say this again, and I understand I have to repeat it. That's all right. You can't tell me that you don't have freedom of press if I say, you go ahead and report that story. That's fine with me. Now, let's say this man put his kids in a freezer. They got reported. And that is a local story. That's reported local.
But the minute that story go viral, if that man let that story go out national, you see, now what did he do? What he did was he said, I'm going to take that story, and that man put his children in a freezer. I may not like him, but, I mean, why don't I make that man Adolf Hitler, you know?
Well, you keep saying Adolf Hitler, so you're saying the international notoriety that a man would get if the story goes national.
If it turns him, yeah, it turns him into a person who's not unlike Adolf Hitler. And you know Hitler, everybody know Hitler, they know what he's done, and they know what he can do, and you don't want a man, because I got drunk, I left my children in the car, and the car's running. Oh, and that's bad. I had to be arrested, I'm going to be arrested. Put in jail, I'm going to be put in jail. And they could even put that story in a Stanford advertiser like they did in that Pennsylvania paper, what I seen it in, right, guys?
Yeah, the Stanford Advertiser just the other day seen it, you know.
But what they can't do is take that story and give it to ABC News and say, you have yourself a good time with that, because I'm going to take that man and turn him into, you know, national figure of infamy or something. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I don't know whether you can enforce our... So what the guys are saying here, and again, this is a story that does need some explaining. If it's a local story, then you can't report it nationally. Now, a local story that you guys, what you guys call a local story, is any story that appears in a local newspaper or a local blog that was not picked up by a national news service.
That is absolutely correct. That's right.
All right. And it's not picked up by a national news service. If it's picked up by a national news service after it's a local story?
That's it right there. That man's going to go to jail and get fired. You know?
Well, let me ask you a question. What if it's a local story about a nuclear reactor having a meltdown?
I'm not talking about news that is unusual. I'm talking about average, everyday, leave a kid in a car, beat somebody up. I mean, that's bad.
Well, that's not national news. When the last time? Well, I saw a story the other day. Man beat a guy up in an outhouse, put him in an outhouse, pushed the outhouse. Oh, that's a pretty funny story. But that's the kind of story that's going to be national news. They made that international news, man in an outhouse.
A man in an outhouse?
Yeah, there's a story. A man got beat up, put in an outhouse, to push the outhouse over. Now, that made national news. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the people making the news and reporting news, they're too lazy to go out and find good news. They're going to find a man outhouse.
And report on that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call. Benjamin in Charlotte, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead.
Yes, this is Benjamin. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
The thing is, I'm wondering, who are they really battling for? Who is more important? And the thing about it also is, why are you worrying about national news? And when you call yourself, you say they're vilifying these people. Well, the thing is,
right.
Who left the child outside?
Well, that's a good point. But see, what I'm saying, the crime that was committed is not worthy of a man being vilified on an international level.
Yeah, well, okay, I understand what you're saying, too.
You know what I'm saying,
but you know what
that,
the thing know. About it is? What they're talking about is the news has expanded the past 10, 15, 20 years. News has expanded.
Well, that's true.
You guys brought up internet and everything else. But, okay, crime has not changed. Crime is
that's
crime.
Right.
And what
that's
happened
exactly
is,
right.
You leave a child out, and that's a problem. Do you
everybody
have any
know about that.
Yourself? When you leave
everybody
a child
know about,
out,
you don't leave a child.
The same
don't
thing is, you leave a child out with without any protection. That's the problem. That's the problem,
everybody
sir.
Knows that, sir. Everybody knows that's not news, sir. We've
why is that not
years
news?
And years and years and years.
Because we've
been
aware
for years and years and years. And years.
Crime going on.
How many people need to
that's
know that?
Crime,
how many people
sir?
Need to? All of course, it's a crime. And guess what else is a crime? Spitting on the sidewalk's a crime. And a dog taking a dump in the park. Now, you want
you
me to put that on international news?
Our so-called national leaders
well, I mean,
and local leaders pick up the wrong yeah. cause.
Yeah, you're talking about having a dog squeeze it off in the park.
Why our children are not being learned about certain things.
Well, sir, first of all, they're not being taught by certain things because we're spending too much time talking about a man having a drink and leaving his kid in the car.
No, we're talking about
you know,
things like this.
And the other thing is,
let me ask something, sir. Do you think at international news of a dog take a dump in the park?
We're not talking about
and that's
a dog
against the law.
A dump in the park. We're talking about a
that's
child
against the law.
Left out, or two child no. children being left
exactly.
out.
Exactly. One is a very serious crime. Yeah, one's a very serious crime and the other is a, you know.
Now, hold on a minute. You guys are just telling me who are you or who am I to say what national news is. Now, I'm asking you again. If a dog take a pinch one off in a park, ain't that national news?
If somebody you know decided to make it national, I guess it is.
That's the most asinine thing
battle.
I've ever
you're
yeah, that's the stupidest thing
power,
I've ever heard since last week I walked trying to push a baby cart home.
What?
I'm just saying to you, sir. A man put a kid in the freezer. Okay, that's bad. The kid's out. Man's very sorry. But now you want to turn him into Adolf Hitler on account
nobody's
of there's nothing else
far.
To report?
Nobody, well, no yeah. one's going that far as I know.
Well,
you know, what I'm
on.
Talking about,
you put that man on the
everybody
wire.
Else is talking about, is
so
what's more important.
Coconut, you know.
I'm just saying, sir, you put a man like, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing.
Right.
I'm just saying, you put that man
what's
on
more
the wire like coconut.
Education.
I'm saying if you.
Education.
I'm saying to you.
Well, let's put that on the national spotlight.
Okay, what are you guys doing?
I'm just telling me. If I put on a wireless coconut tonight,
that Benjamin in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm not in Charlotte. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, well,
let's
I don't know.
Let's get your facts right. You haven't been getting your facts
You in Charleston, North Carolina.
What?
No, he's in Charleston. What do you mean Charleston, North Carolina?
I'll tell you what.
That you're in Charleston, North Carolina, and let's say they, and I'm not saying this has happened, but let's say they found you and you were having yourself a good time with someone's poodle. Now, do you want that on the national news? No, you don't. You don't want to put that on a wireless coconut anymore than I want to put it on there.
And what do you mean the wireless coconut? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about making a national news.
Well, let's not. Okay, thank you, Benjamin. A very good call and a very good point. And it is about education, guys. So it's not really.
Whoa, sunshine. Hold on. You say about education. That's the one word that people throw in there when they want to obfuscate and otherwise confuse the issue. I hate that word, educate and children. They put them two words in to try to obfuscate and confuse. Now, here's the story. I don't need to be educated on child abuse. I've seen movie of the week. I've read books. I've seen articles. I got me a story about the SPCA man, and he helped a child that was abused. All these stories. Angela's ashes till I want to cry. What I'm saying is, where do you report that? Yeah, I always seen Angela's ashes. You don't need to have that national.
What do you mean Angela's ashes? What is that?
You ain't never seen that.
No.
That's about beating up kids and everything.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. What is news? What is national news? If a man leaves his kids in a running car while he's in having a drink, it's a bad thing. But is it warranted? Is that worthy of national coverage? 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You know what I'm talking about.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Pastor William Rennick joining us next hour to talk about Steve Johnson, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, who tweeted this weekend on his Twitter account that he dropped a pass, which would have been a game-winning pass, against the Pittsburgh Steelers because God let him down. God didn't help him. He called God out. And we'll talk to Pastor Rennick next hour about that. Right now, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State House joining us on the Hometown News Bill, which would make it illegal for national news services, national newspapers, etc., national networks, to report hometown or local news, especially if it were injurious to the people involved. Now, we've talked about three stories tonight. A man who left his child in a car seat for 45 minutes, a man who left his children in the car while he got a drink while the car's running, and a man who put his children in the freezer at his grocery store as punishment. None of those men should be reported on nationally.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be reported on, Phil. I'm saying...
Wait, Phil, you got to understand. We're not saying that people should know about it. We're saying only local people should know about it, because we only know about child abuse and everything.
How many times do we need to have a child abuse story reported on before we say, look, I get it already, you know. I get it, and I know when I'm being manipulated, and I know when people are trying to use me like I'm an old hound dog. If I look at the people and say, you got enough news to report on today, you don't, well, why don't you come to my town and report on every little thing and make all my people into Adolf Hitler, you know.
That's the wisdom of the day.
Well, you guys are talking about lazy news coverage.
That is it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is August in Brooklyn, New York, listening on WWRL. August, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think you guys, man, you have no right to tell people that they're not supposed to report this, that, or the other thing. I mean, people should be held accountable. People should be held accountable for their own
behavior. They are held accountable. That they are held accountable in the hometown.
First of all,
be held accountable in Busted Whistle, Arkansas, when he committed the crime. And you know,
I don't care. Crime is crime, regardless of whether it's local or national, my friend.
Well,
crime is crime.
There's a line you can draw. I mean, crime is crime. But they're spitting on the sidewalk and murder. I wouldn't put the two in the same category.
No, but you
know what I'm saying.
But you putting a kid in a refrigerator and leaving a kid in a car while you go have a few beers, that doesn't make sense.
They've been doing that all, man, they've been sticking kids in freezers since time began. You know that as well as I do. We know all about child abuse.
Well, yeah, but you can't protect somebody who's doing wrong because, I mean, people are going to know about it.
Well, here's the question. How do you know they want to know about it if I didn't tell them about it? Because I'm too lazy to go out and get real news. I got a tweet from some guy stuck a kid in an icebox. Okay, put a kid
down.
Who are you
to tell somebody that they too lazy to go report news? I mean,
you know as well as I do, my friend, the people sitting around picking the nose, they ought to go out and find themselves a real news story instead of coming down to West Virginia and hassle a man about putting a kid in a cooler.
That is real news. That is real news.
Well, it is real news for West Virginia.
It's real news no matter where it is, my friend. It's real news.
Something more interested in Brooklyn. Ain't there something more interested in Brooklyn, New York, than a kid being stuck in a Budweiser cooler or something like that, you know?
What do you mean a cooler? I thought you guys said it was a refrigerator.
No, it's a freezer, a big freezer in a grocery store, you know. But you know what I mean? So, in other words, what if there's a kid getting stuck in a cooler in Brooklyn? Don't you rather hear about that? Of course you would. But why are you going to bug me about what's going on in my town?
The man's talking about...
Yeah, see, that's got nothing to do with you, what happened here. Now, if they stick a kid in a cooler in Brooklyn, maybe by the door.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Christianity is not the first, nor the fifth, nor the tenth religion.
I am never going to sell infused whipped cream that has alcohol infused in it.
The stewardess said,
both pilots.
At that moment, I was thinking, I don't want to die here.
That's just stuck on stupid.
That is a threat on the radio.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night and go places other talk shows cannot go, no matter how hard they try. 877-877, it's a good line, though. 877-876-PHIL. Steve Johnson of the Buffalo Bills tweets his anger at God over a missed catch. Joining us to discuss this is Pastor William Renick this hour, and our number again, 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on WXNT 1430 AM Indianapolis and Chico, California, KZAP 96.7 FM. And two great stations that get it, and they're on the Phil Hendry Show network. Again, our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And we'd like you to go over there and take a look at our live streaming audio, live streaming video. We have, live streaming audio is on the video. We have our archives that go back, thousands of years. It seems like thousands of years. It'll take you thousands of years to get through them, as well as a news feed, as well as information for all of our Backstage Pass members. We've got our Saturday video cast coming up of our KFI Los Angeles show. It's all there. Now, here is a story that I don't think I've ever seen this before, and we're going to have Pastor William Renick on with us. And I also pulled something up out of the archives. By way of comparison, I don't know why, I'm a football fan, and maybe we'll get the pastor on to comment on this. But this is a story about Steve Johnson, the Buffalo Bills, blaming God on Twitter after dropping a game-winning pass against the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. It wasn't his own hands or the Pittsburgh secondary Sunday that foiled Buffalo Bill wide receiver Steve Johnson from hauling in what should have been the game-winning TD catch in the end zone. It was God. He tweeted, "I praise you 24/7. This was the 24-year-old tweeting from his iPad at around 5:15 on Sunday after the Steelers' 19-16 overtime victory over Buffalo. And this, how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this, ever. Thanks, though." That is Steve Johnson talking to God.
First and 10. McEachery with a nice block at the guard. Going deep. He's got Johnson! Oh, he was fearless. He takes the shot down the field, working against Taylor, with Clark coming over, and all he has to do is hold on to it, and the Bills are going to have their third consecutive win.
He has five drop passes unofficially today.
Oh, I blew it. Amazing. Fitzpatrick cannot believe it.
Wait a minute, man. This guy just said the Bills won the game, right? Are you there, Pastor?
Yeah.
Did you watch this game?
No, I didn't see the game, Bill. I'm not watching football as much, maybe, as some people, but I can't tell you who won the game.
Well, who won the game, Jason? That guy just said the Bills are going to have the win. The story here says that Johnson is a Buffalo Bill receiver. He dropped the ball. Pittsburgh won. Steelers won. What the hell is this jackball talking about? Anyway, excuse me for my language, Pastor Rennick.
That's all right. You know something? We listened to that young man talking about Twitter. They say that Twitter and his disappointment with God. I think that in a lot of ways, is something to focus on. You don't want to focus necessarily on your anger, although God forgives us our anger sometimes, you know.
Right.
And you don't want to focus too much on your yourself, although God does understand that sometimes we get caught up in our dreams, our plans, and the things that happen to us in life. So God understands that. But you can't be disrespectful to God. And I ask you to get that one clip up, Phil. You got that?
No, I do. I have. Now, Pastor Rennick asked me to pull up a clip here. And this is also a very famous dropped pass. This is a dropped pass from Super Bowl 13. And this is who, Pastor Rennick?
This is Jackie Smith, the tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is a man by the name of Roger Staubach. And you're going to hear Roger Staubach, who is a Christian man, and Roger Staubach, very famous, the Christian man, drop back to throw a pass in the Super Bowl. Now, this is the biggest game of the year. It's the biggest sporting event in the whole world. And just like this young man yesterday, listen what happened. And this is a Christian man, just like this Steve Johnson. Here's a Jackie. You got that?
Okay, yeah. This is Roger Staubach, and this is the TV call. It's Kurt Gowdy calling this pass from Roger Staubach to Jackie Smith. Here we go.
With a conservative attack, they have two tight ends. And they have a third down and two. And they're on the Pittsburgh 10. And they're behind. And they're going to throw.
Oh, he's got it. Wide
right open. Drop. Veteran Jackie Smith. He's a great human interest story. 15 years with the Cardinals. First time he ever got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Signed.
So that was Jackie Smith dropping that pass, huh?
Yeah, and you know, you can hear that man. You said it.
Kurt Gowdy.
Yeah, Kurt Gowdy trying to put a lipstick on a pig. You know, a human. But look what happened. Wide open, and the ball was thrown by a Christian man, Roger Staubach. You see?
Well, in other words, in sports, there's disappointments all the time.
A lot of disappointment all the time. Well, you're a Christian man like Steve Johnson, like Roger Staubach. I don't know about Jackie Smith, but Jackie Smith was Roger Staubach, a man who believes in God. Now he's got to put his faith in God because he's throwing the ball to a man. He don't know that man's Christian. He don't know what. Throw that ball, and that ball got dropped. And you ask yourself, I believe in God, I love God, I love Jesus, His Son. And you just have to suck it up, and that's what you tell yourself you got to do?
Right.
But you go back to that locker room, and you say to yourself, what do I got to do?
Yeah.
What do I got to do? You know.
Yeah.
All my life, I'm doing what they tell me to do. I read my Bible. I give to the charity. I take care of little children. I take care of old people. I take care of my parents. I send my money back home, my salary back home. I'm a professional football player. Praise God. Look at the money and look at the wonderful life that I've been able to have, and I can help people. All I'm asking for from you, God, all the things that I've done. Work hard to get to where I am. All I ask. One lousy day of my life, the Super Bowl, is for me to complete that touchdown pass. Now, if you look at that football game, was it the Steelers?
Yeah, the Steelers won.
Steelers won the game. So that would have put the Dallas Cowboys ahead. They would have won the Super Bowl. As it is, the Dallas Cowboys come up short, and they got constantly coming up short against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they'll show that replay until the end of time. Jackie Smith dropped the football. And Roger Staubach is going off the field. He's looking at God. He's saying, what do I got to do? Oh, what do I got to do?
But are you saying, Pastor, you know, that...
First of all, that Jackie Smith, 16-year veteran, that man had more years. He was 38 years old when that ball was thrown at him. That's a veteran football player. That man knows how to get open. He knows how to catch a football. He knows what a championship football game is. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's going into the Hall of Fame. Did you know that, Phil?
Jackie Smith's a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Hall of Fame. And a man that's throwing the ball to him is a Hall of Famer. You know that?
Yeah.
And he drops it. There comes a time, and this is what I was saying today, we're talking at our 5 o'clock service. I said, there comes a time when you got to call, and I say this with all due respect. There comes a time when you got to call out God. Now, what do I mean by call out God? I don't mean you disrespect God. Don't you ever disrespect God. I don't mean you call God's name. I don't mean you, and I didn't like what this young man put on Twitter, you know.
Now, I was going to ask you, did you think that was disrespectful?
I thought it was very disrespectful, yes. But I think there are times when you can say to God, you know, God, what do I got to do? I'm doing everything you ask, you know. Why'd you do that? I mean, all I want to do is catch a lousy football. That's all. It's a ball. And it's coming through the air. Now, I've got 10 fingers, 2 arms. I'm a professional football player. I know how to catch a football. How about giving me some help? What do you think happened?
Well, so you're saying that God did let Steve Johnson down. And
I'm not going to make that judgment at all.
And you're saying that God let down Roger Staubach?
He let down Roger Staubach. Didn't let down Jackie Smith. I don't know what Jackie Smith, if he's a Christian or not. What he did do is he said, I'm going to have you throw that ball to a man that's not a believer. See how you like that? How's that fit? How's that feel? You know, the only man that's going to be open out of all the wide receivers that Roger Staubach had on that play, the only man open was a non-believer. So go ahead, Staubach. Throw the ball. That's what God said to him. So Staubach said, Lord, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to throw the ball to Jackie Smith. I don't know him. I don't know him from the man on the moon. I don't know whether this man is a Christian. I don't know if he's Muslim. I don't know if he's what do they call these people today, Wicca? I don't know what he is. I'm hoping and praying that he catches the ball. And you know what happened?
Did God let Roger Staubach down?
I will not make that judgment. I'm not going to.
Did God let Steve Johnson down?
I will not make that judgment. I'm saying to you that a man has a right to say to God, that hurts. Man got a right to say that.
Man has a right to say to God, that hurts.
Yeah.
On Twitter?
I think any place that a man feels, I don't think what Steve Johnson put on Twitter, I think he should have said, if I was Steve Johnson, this is what I would have said. I would have said, God, I praise you. I thank you for life. I thank you for salvation. But I got to tell you something, Lord. That stings. That hurts bad. Hurts real bad. And I don't know what I've done. But I would have thought maybe just one time, you to give me some love. Help me win, what do you call it, the Super Bowl of all time.
Well, that wasn't a Super Bowl yesterday.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Right. So, Pastor, you're saying, and you am using your words, it's okay for man to call God out.
That is correct.
Now, tell us what you mean specifically. It's all right to criticize God?
And when you are praying to God and you drop a touchdown pass that puts your team ahead in front of, are you kidding? A billion people all over the world, and you drop the ball, you get, you have the right to say to God, you got to be kidding me. You got to be putting me on. All my life I give, and I go to the Super Bowl, and I'm like a ham-handed, butter-fingered. You know, the frustration. So, yes, a man can be a man.
Well, that's different from saying, you said, God, you let me down. Now, you got to be kidding me, ham-handed and butter-fingered.
Yeah, well, but see, that's not being disrespectful the way this Johnson's all, how am I going to learn? Look at how you do me. I think it's right for him to say that. I think that, you know, I love you, God, but you do me like this? So all I'm saying, I don't like what he said, but if you're going to go on Twitter and you're going to talk about God, you got to say it in a way, you know, you got to say, God, you know, you could stick it in. Did you have to break it off? Something like that, you know.
All right, Pastor William Renick is with us on the Phil Hendry Show, and he says that, like Steve Johnson of the Buffalo Bills, calling God out, you can do that. If you get frustrated, if you get angry, if you get hurt, you can say to God, you know what, God, I'm disappointed in you. I don't know whether there's a biblical foundation for that or whatever, but that is the controversy today. Steve Johnson of the Buffalo Bills tweeting on Twitter, this is how you do me. You expect me to learn from this. He's talking to God about dropping a touchdown pass yesterday in the Steeler game. 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Pastor William Renick about being disappointed in God and letting him know about it on Twitter. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Put me on, man!
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're with Pastor William Renick. And the reason why is because we have an issue of faith to discuss here this evening. And it was an interesting story that this issue came about. And Steve Johnson, who's a wide receiver with the Buffalo Bills, went on Twitter last night from his iPad about 5:15 Sunday evening to basically express disappointment in God for not helping him catch that touchdown pass that would have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we've played the audio track of that, and we played the audio track of what I consider to be, Pastor Renick, the most famous drop pass of all time, Jackie Smith from Roger Staubach.
Yeah, and again, Phil, I can't stress enough, Roger Staubach, a very well-known Christian athlete, a very good man, good Christian athlete. And I don't know Jackie Smith. I'm not judging Jackie Smith. I'm not judging Jackie Smith, but I am saying this. If I'm Roger Staubach, I go to the sideline or wherever, and I take a quiet moment, look at God and say, what'd you do to me? What are you doing? And you have a right to be angry. You're not angry at God. You're angry at yourself. He said, what are you doing to me? Of all the men wide open on that play, any wide receiver at the Dallas Cowboys, you know about the Dallas Cowboys. They got every kind of football player. All the great wide receiver. Of all the great wide receivers. What about that Hail Mary? You heard about that, right?
The Hail Mary was Drew Pearson?
Drew Pearson, that's right. Drew Pearson against the Minnesota Vikings. They give him a Hail Mary in a playoff game. It ain't the Super Bowl. See? It ain't the Super Bowl. Now, Roger Staubach need a Hail Mary, and what he get? He got Jackie Smith, that's what he got. Now, if you tell me, do I love God? I love God. And I say, oh man, that hurt. Hurt bad. Yes, I can.
Well, you know, you're also bringing people into it. Saying Jackie Smith, is he a believer, a non-believer? He laid Jackie Smith on Roger Staubach. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Kevin in Abilene, Texas, listening on KFNA. Go ahead, Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, this yes, pastor sir? Has got all his priorities in the wrong bag. You know, to bring up the Creator in football, like the Creator don't have anything better to do but to go to a football game when there's millions of other things going on in the world.
He wants to put
the Creator on the radio over a fumble.
I'll tell you what, Steve Johnson is the guy that tweeted about God. I didn't do it.
Well, I mean,
are you in Texas? I think you know something about football.
And it's got something to do with what you say. And what you're saying don't make any sense.
What I'm saying is you can express disappointment in God. Now, say, God, look, why'd you give me Jackie Smith to throw that ball to when I could have had Drew Peterson?
Creator ain't got nothing to do with a football game. I think he'd rather
be out. Are you putting me on?
There's a million other things going on besides a Super Bowl football game that the Creator can be at.
Like what?
Like what?
Like
what? All
you're trying to tell me that God can't be it? You're trying to tell me
all
God can't be
all the hunger that's going on?
What about God
all
being everywhere at once?
The rape and robberies and stuff that's going on, and you want him to be
at
a football game
with
somebody's fingers is like butternut
fingers?
Well,
I'll tell you what, we might as well be because he ain't stopping no rape or robbery. And I say that with love.
You know, instead of,
man.
You know,
God can be everywhere all the time, you know, morning, noon, and night. He's all over. You know, he's like the New York Times, you know. Red, white, and, you know, what do they say? Black and white and red all over? Like a zebra? Like a sunburned zebra, you know. That's God. And so when we...
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Pastor Rennick, can you be disappointed in God in the question on Twitter?
Phil Henry.
And the answer is yes.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Monday night on our little gathering. We have with us Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, as sort of an expert guest, I guess, because Steve Johnson, he's a wide receiver with the Buffalo Bills, and he twittered last night the following about God. Steve Johnson dropped a pass. And, you know, Pastor Rennick, we always see ball players, genuflecting.
Oh, yeah, they're giving it up. They're giving a praise to Jesus. They're giving it up. And athletes are very good at that. But that's what I'm saying, you know. You cross yourself. You thank God. I saw young men on football field. I didn't see the game yesterday, but I've seen them from time to time, you know, and they praise God their own way. And all of that demonstration, you know.
Well, let me just say what he said here, and then... I'd like to hear more from what you're observing here. It says on the Twitter, the tweet was, I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me. He's talking to God here.
He's disappointed in God.
Right. I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me. You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this, ever. Thanks, though. Well, maybe that's how he learns.
Maybe that's how he learned what?
Well, he said, I'll never forget this.
Yeah, he'll never forget that God let him down. That's what he's never going to forget. That's what he's telling God. You let me down. You let me down. You ain't saying to God, I don't believe in you anymore, but you are saying to God, you know, you are saying to God, how much more is this supposed to take? I mean, I know you want me to ride it. And if we put it in the terms, I don't like these terms, but if you say, I want you to bite down on this towel, well, how long you want me to bite down on that? Do I got to chew on it, too?
You know, no, but I'm saying maybe God had him drop the ball so he could learn about responsibility.
I don't understand.
In other words, this young man is obviously blaming God. Is it not his fault? No, no, his fault.
His fault? I don't understand. What do you mean his fault? Did he try to catch the ball?
Well,
did he or did he not try to catch the ball?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, according to the...
You guess so? I was listening to the same football game you listened to. I heard a man say, he got him wide open. Oh, he dropped it. So obviously he tried to catch the ball. He wasn't taking a stroll in the end zone. All of a sudden, here comes a ball.
Well, so my point, though, and I don't think you're hearing me, what part of this, if you're going to get on Twitter and you're going to blame God...
Phil, you're making a big thing out of it. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with expressing disappointment of God, you know. Nothing wrong at all.
No, but I understand that. However, at what point do you say, well, the lesson to learn here is I got to keep my eye on the ball. I didn't run that route well. Excuse me.
You want some water?
Give me some water, will you, bud? But you know what I'm saying?
You know, I didn't run the route well. Why do you think that young man is angry?
Well,
he's angry because he done everything right. He ran the route well. Had his gloves on. Paid attention to the play. Knew the play backward and forward. Probably could run that route backward. Probably could play quarterback, throw himself the ball, go out for it and catch it. That's how well a young man know it. And so what happened? Instead of God rewarding him for all his hard work, God decided to put some either butterfinger knuckle, I don't know who the quarterback, some knucklehead. Or God decided to mess with him and throw a gust of wind in there. Either way, the young man saying to God, why? Oh, man, why? Woo! That hurt.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I don't know whether you are hearing me, though. I'm saying, you know, I think I know what I'm saying. Steve Johnson dropped the ball. At what point does he blame himself? Here is Michael in Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, Michael.
Thanks, Phil. Pastor William, God's got better things to do than worry about somebody dropping a football.
That's what the last guy said. God's got better things to do. No, he doesn't. Because the Bible tells us that every hair on your head is numbered. Every hair on your head is numbered. And so, therefore, God, you ought to read your Bible, son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 4:18. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was Steve Johnson's gift? Where was his catch?
I can't understand.
He got it put
you.
Up there and busted off. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that it... Well, you know what I mean. So, what was saying...
What do you mean, we know what you mean? I think what this man is saying, Michael, is saying that God's got better things to do.
God's everywhere at the same time. What kind of knucklehead thing is that to say? God's got better thing to do. God never had better thing to do.
Well,
the most important thing, because that's what it means. When he says every hair on your head is numbered, that means God takes care of every little thing. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor sweat, and yet the Lord takes care of them.
All right, fine.
Michael? We're in war right now. He's probably over there looking after our young men and women.
Oh, you know something, man? Go read Mother Goose, man. Go read your Mother
Goose. And you worried about a football game,
go
man.
Go read your Mother Goose, man. You ain't even on the same level with me, man. Not even on the same level.
All right. You don't want to talk to that?
No, this man, his idea of God is some guy with a big beard, and he's standing up there, and he's wearing a hirachi sandal. And, you know...
All right, anyway, Michael, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You were talking about where was Steve Johnson's Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Well, it was in the lesson that he learned, okay? The lesson in the dropping of the football, right?
The lesson in the dropping of the football was the following thing. When you want God to be there for you, he ain't there. Now, I'm saying that I don't believe that, but that's what God said to Steve Johnson. That's what he said.
Well,
hold on for a minute, because I'm not making myself clear. That last gentleman, with all due respect, that's about as... I mean, that sounded like that man wanted to bust out. Talk about the Hobbit. God's over in Afghanistan like that. What's God? He's on getting on his skateboard and going between Afghanistan and the United States. Now, let me tell you something.
Pat.
Hold on for a minute. You believe in God, God got to believe in you.
Right.
When you believe in God, God got to believe in you.
Okay.
And if God don't believe in you, well, friend, you're up blank, blank, blank creek without a paddle. Ain't that right?
Past.
Ain't that right?
Yeah, if God, but no, we're not taught that God doesn't believe in us.
Exactly. God believes in us. So why don't he show it? Well, he got his reason. But I got my reason, too, to say to God, all I wanted was to catch that pass. If I catch that pass, my team win the Super Bowl. That's all. What a lousy, stinking Super Bowl. You know how many Super Bowls they've been? 40, 50, I don't know. He can't even count the number of Super Bowls because there have been so many. They don't even know how many Super Bowls there have been. All I want to do is catch one lousy football in a Super Bowl so my team can win. I can walk out of there without egg dripping off my face. That's all I ask for, God. You think God can't do it? You listen to some of these people. You think that that's the toughest thing God ever did in his life?
Well,
the toughest thing he ever did in his life. Well, it ain't. I'm here to tell you God can help you catch a football in the Super Bowl, win the war in Iraq, give women equal rights, straighten your hair so you don't have to use any of that cock juice.
All right, I understand.
You get the meaning.
Yeah, I get the meaning, okay? But again, traditional Christianity and the traditional views of people are the following. God is not mocked. God is not... You quoted a lot here from the Bible, okay?
I'll do it again. Hebrew 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible. Well, this is the one I didn't... You know what I'm saying. Steve Johnson and Roger Staubach, they believe in God. But where's their reward? I'll tell you where their reward is. They got to stuck to him! And I don't think that that's something you at least can't bring up to God.
And God's got his reasons.
Sure, he's got his reasons. I ain't going to second guess God, but I can say, wow, that hurt. That hurt. Look, when you were a little boy and you were taken to the doctor, you had to get, a shot.
Right.
Well, you had to get a shot. Were you not allowed to say, boy, you stuck it in there good, man. Were you not allowed to say that? Of course you were. So you're a little baby, you're 3 years old, the doctor says, I got to give this child a shot in the butt so he don't get all this disease, and the doctor stuck that shot in your rear end. And you're like, easy, cowboy, man, you're rubbing your rear end, you're walking out of there looking back at that doctor and going, oh, we'll meet again. I mean, you're pissed, excuse my language.
And 3 years old? I'm not any of that stuff, I'm crying.
But you were crying, exactly, you was crying. You was crying. Just like that little baby. Just like...
You know, we got to take a break.
Just like that little baby. Little baby crying. Well, he got that pin right up his rear end. But I'm saying you, that when a doctor put a shot in that little baby's butt, got so on the baby said, Doc, we'll meet again. You got a fight coming. It's coming today. Steve Johnson had the right... He had the right to say the same thing to God.
You have a fight coming, and it's coming today.
You know what I mean. But when the doctor put that shot in your butt, and you look at the doctor, and you go, that hurt, Doc. You got a fight coming, and it's coming today. Same thing with God, only you don't want to fight God. You just say to God, that hurt. And if you see the herbs, you tell them I'll send them to hell on a shutter.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, whatever. We'll be back with Pastor William Renick as he quotes the Bible and tells us all about people and God and why Steve Johnson dropped that pass on a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You got a fight coming, and it's coming today.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Final segment with Pastor William Rennick here as we talk about an unusual topic, actually, but it's from true life. The wide receiver Steve Johnson of the Buffalo Bills on his Twitter account last night said, I praise you 24. He's talking directly to God from his Twitter account, saying, I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me. You expect me to learn from this. I'll never forget this ever. Thanks, though, Steve Johnson. He dropped the ball, dropped a pass that would have won the game for the Buffalo Bills. He dropped the pass, and he's saying God is to blame. Do you agree?
Well, I think from the standpoint that God could have cut him a break, you know, and said, look, I'm going to cut this young man a break, get the ball, but he didn't do it, you know. So God, he got his reasons. I don't know why he did it. But for whatever reason, God, right at the minute that Steve Johnson could have caught that ball and his team could have won, God come down with his big hand and just swatted that ball out of there like he remembered the Pittsburgh secondary. Why'd he do it? Did God need to feel good about himself? I don't know. You know,
what do you mean God needed to feel good about himself?
Well, I don't know. Did he want to just throw a little wrinkle into somebody's world? I don't know. And we'll never know. Did the same thing to Roger Staubach, and Roger Staubach was the head of the Christian Athletes Organization and what have you. And what did he do to Roger Staubach? In the middle of a Super Bowl, he threw a non-believer in there. He threw in a heathen. He threw a heathen in. Jackie Smith.
Well, we don't know that about Jackie Smith.
We don't, huh? Okay. What religion is Jackie Smith?
I don't know.
Thank you. I don't know why God does what he does, but some days it hurts. It's bad.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Andre in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Andre, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Mr. Phil?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say to the pastor, God don't have no respect of no person. So if the guy dropped the ball, that wasn't God's fault. God gives us the ability to play these sports and stuff like that. God has never failed. The young man must didn't concentrate or took his eye off the ball or something like that, because God don't
what
make us
that?
Robots. Because if we were, if God made us robots, and then we would be acceptable for all those things. If this guy's a pastor like you say he is, he know that God give us choices in life. So the individual must have took his eye off the ball or something like that. Because God,
he give us a choice. He give us a choice to believe in him too, don't he?
And yes, he gives us a choice. God wasn't pulling for Buffalo, nor was he pulling for Pittsburgh.
Buffalo.
God gave us the ability to play the game and with these talents, but what we do with the talents is on our own behalf of what we do.
That's too easy. Too easy. No. When you give your life to Jesus and you say, all right, I'm going to live according to your word, and I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to spread the gospel, I'm going to do all the things you asked me to do. All I'm asking for is one lousy pass. And he can't do that?
Now, you telling me that God was choosing the team to win. God give this man, Steve Johnson, the ability to play football. Now, what he do when he playing football is on him. God never fails. It's just like you and I. All of us are human. We got choices in life to do what we want to do. Now, if he didn't focus to catch the ball, of course he was wide open, but he could have took his eye off the ball or whatever. God's not going to sit there and direct him to play the whole game.
That's
because
God's saying.
Not
well,
choosing
God
who's winning the game.
Why did God take his eye off the ball? That's the point.
What do you mean God took his eye off the ball?
Eye off the ball, not God. It was God.
God took Steve Johnson's eye and moved it. Right when he needed to have that eye on the football, is what I'm saying.
No, that
he
was
did
his
what?
Choice to do
yeah.
that. It's the same
That's
thing.
What God
like
did.
You, No, that was his choice. It's just like you and I. I'm a minister. You say you a preacher. If you get up there and make a mistake on the pulpit or you fail in life, that's not God failing because you got a choice of what you want to do. The guy had a choice, and he took his eye off the ball or he wasn't focused and he lost the game. God did not choose who was going to win the game because if it was up to God to choose it, that means Buffalo would be undefeated right now.
I don't think God was choosing it. I think what God decided to do is for whatever reason, he didn't want to fulfill that young man's prayer. He took that young man's eyeball and moved it.
What do you mean moved his eyeball?
I'm saying Steve Johnson took his eye off the ball. Not God, because God cannot fail.
God took Steve Johnson's eye off the ball.
No, he didn't. Go ahead.
You're missing the point, Pastor.
No, I hear what you're
God
saying.
God never failed. If it was up to God, Buffalo would have won every game this year. God is not sitting around choosing a football team, but he's given everybody the God ability to play the game. You can play the game. That's the ability that you have. Just like me, if God give me the ability to sing a song, but I get up there and miss a note, that ain't God missed a note. That's me missing a note of something that I done. And maybe I didn't rehearse like I was supposed to. Maybe I didn't prepare like I was supposed to.
God, please, God, or something. You go to sing, and God goes, "I'm not pleased with Andre today, so I'm going to make him go flat on that note."
We're not robots.
No, I know
we're not robots, but we are people that have to do the will of God. If we don't do the will of God, then God will say, you know what? Now I'm going to show you. And he took that eyeball and tweaked it just to the left.
You keep saying the will of God like you're talking to the other young man on the phone. But God said, right. If you read the Bible, sir, it says God blessed the just as well as the unjust. So he's not having, he don't have no respect of a person.
I don't get that part.
Regardless,
do you think
that, you know, that's just, the guy
let's cut to it. Let's
ball,
cut down to it. Jackie Smith was not a believer.
All right, Andre, I hear you. I agree with Andre. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
What does that mean, you agree with Andre? What does that mean?
He makes more sense to me than you do. Kevin, go ahead. Kevin there?
Hello?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, I was just wanted to tell the pastor that, you know, Scripture says that all things work for the good, for those who love God. And sometimes God, some of God's greatest blessings come in the nature of setbacks and disappointments.
Right.
So who's to say that just because this guy dropped this ball, you know, that it might get him to look at the fact he might need to concentrate a little bit more?
Yeah, but Steve Johnson was given a choice to catch the ball, and he chose to catch the ball. But God said, no, that ain't good enough.
Wait a minute. Steve Johnson was given a choice to catch the ball.
Yes, and he chose to catch the ball.
But this man here is saying that even with disappointments, we can learn.
Now, see, that I agree with what that man said. But Steve Johnson already had disappointments and then said, okay, now I want to catch the ball. The reason why I know is because he's all disappointed that he didn't catch the ball. So he's probably saying to God, look, you disappointed me this week. Now I want to catch the ball. And you won't let me do that either? You know,
Phil Hendry.
I hate heavy metal.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Christianity is not the first nor the fifth.
At that moment, I was thinking, I don't want to die here on the ground.
First and 10. Lefebvre with a nice block at the guard. Going deep. He's got Jim.
Cop needlessly cut down an ambush.
Kick a Jew.
Epic fail.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and we head places other talk shows. Man, not only do they wish they could go there, they can't quite figure out how we do it. They want to go there and like that, all right? Every night and Saturday nights on KFI in Los Angeles. Now it's our news hour. We have Robert Leonard. Robert.
How you doing?
And Bud Dickman.
Hi. I want to comment on news and everything.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do, man. That's what you do. And the Hobbit film lands in a race controversy. Get a load of that. What color's a hobbit? Well, we'll find out. Broadway's version of Spider-Man was a, well, I can tell you what it was because it's right here.
Epic fail.
Apparently it just stunk the joint out, and we're going to find out why. Well, most of it was technical stuff.
Yeah, I heard, man, that like one of the actors had to come to a scene, but he stuck up on a ceiling.
What are you talking about, stuck on a ceiling?
Well, he was like on a guide wire or something like that?
Yeah, he was supposed to be flying, and the wires got stuck, and so the dude is up in the rafters through a scene that he was supposed to be on the stage for. So it technically is a very difficult play to present, and we'll see if they're able to work this stuff out. I mean, they got ripped in the New York press, the Spider-Man debut on stage in New York. One can say, well, that's a little hasty. I mean, but they do have a lot of technical issues to work out. Plus, the WikiLeaks, this drove of documents, however the word is.
Pretty close, like a treasure trove.
Trove, thank you. Of documents is still coming out, and we'll find out what's in it. Is any of it of any value, or is it just, is and I hate to say the word, but I'm going to use it, is there real value in these documents to the extent that we're seeing something really nefarious about our government? Or are we at this point now where we're just poking through lots and lots of things, offering opinions? In other words, at what point does this become treasonous? And excuse me for using the word, but I'm going to use it. And then we have, of course, the passing of actor Leslie Nielsen, 84 years of age, and an inspiration to old guys like me, because at the age of whatever he was, I mean, he was 54 years old, maybe a little bit younger, 52, when he started as a comedic actor for the very first time in the Airplane movie.
I seen the Airplane. Was he the, which one was he?
He was the guy who kept saying, you know, he was the cat who said things like, of course I'm serious and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, and his nose got big.
Oh, yeah, when he was lying about Pinocchio and everything.
Right, he was lying and his nose kept getting bigger. That was Leslie Nielsen. And then he was in The Naked Gun and Police Squad and a few other movies. Very, very funny guy. And he passed on at 84 in Fort Lauderdale, New York. 877-876-PHIL. So here it is, the first Spider-Man movie. Oh, and our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP, man. Open the world up even larger to the Phil Henry Show experience. Get your backstage pass. Check in with our archives. Check in with our video archives. Check in with the character bits, with our animated stuff, with our live video cast every day, with our news feed. Do it. First Spider-Man preview filled with major problems. Not even Spider-Man could avert this disaster, writes Michael Riedel and Helen Seidman of the New York Post. Last week's opening preview of Broadway's most expensive production ever. This is a $65 million play, folks. It's a play. It's a stage presentation. $65 million, that's how much some movies cost.
They're not going to... But they're only going to do it one time, right? Or more than one time.
Yeah, a play goes every day.
Well, that's pretty good, then.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not like it's costing them $65 million every time they do the play. The stage itself and all of the production elements, $65 million. It's very expensive. It's called Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Is it racial?
Why would you think it's racial?
Because the look on your face, you think it is.
No, I'm just asking.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Are you serious? You think it's racial?
Well, what does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means. It means Spider-Man, get the black people out of the country and everything.
Get out of here, will you?
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. It's not racial. Spider-Man, turn off the dark.
I think it sounds like he wants everybody to kick all the black people out of New York.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what Spider-Man wants to do. Turn off the dark. Anyway, it was an epic flop. Epic flop. The opening night is what the New York Post is saying. A $65 million show's high-tech gadgetry went completely awry amid a dull score and baffling script and griping theatergoers. Stunned, this is their word, stunned audience members were left scratching their heads over the confusing plot when they weren't ducking for cover from falling equipment and dangling actors at the Foxwoods Theater on West 42nd Street. How long did they rehearse this thing for?
Well, wait, what do you mean?
Well, if you've got a big play with, what do I mean? What do you mean? What do you think I mean?
What do you think you mean? Well, what do you mean, like, rehearsed? Like, what?
The whole play, man. It's a $65 million production. They got this. They got that. They got something else. Wouldn't you rehearse the living hell out of this, man? I don't think they did.
It doesn't sound like a matter of all that stuff go wrong.
I don't think they rehearsed it to the point where you should. If you've got all of this supposed high-tech gadgetry, you got to rehearse the living hell out of it. You got to rehearse it until you're, I mean, seriously, you're doing dry runs, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, see, you can't say that.
You know, I shouldn't have said, if you'll pardon the expression, because I knew you would have taken it as, in any event, at various points, overhead stage wires dropped on the audience, scenery appeared on stage missing pieces, and the show's star was even left swaying helplessly over the midair during what was supposed to be the climactic end to the first set. God help them. The production, directed by Julie Taymor of Lion King fame, now this is a very accomplished director. She's an experienced Broadway director. She directed Lion King, which was a smash, so it's not like they threw some, you know, neophyte in there. And with a score by U2's Bono and The Edge.
That could have been a problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably stunk.
Yeah, that's the weak spot there. Yeah, but sure.
Well,
I don't know, man. Bono and The Edge, I mean, you figure, okay. Anyway, the production appeared cursed from the start, according to audience members. It opened with Tamer's personal creation, the eight-legged female character Arachne, taking the stage. Okay. The spider is the radioactive arachnid that bites Peter Parker, giving the photographer his superhuman Spider-Man powers. As the character, played by actress Natalie Mendoza, finished her big number, Rise Above, while suspended over the crowd, an apparent wire malfunction left her stopped in midair, where she remained for an embarrassing 7 or 8 minutes as stagehands worked feverishly to figure out the problem. The stage manager finally went, finally said over the loudspeaker, give it up for Natalie Mendoza, who's hanging in the air. The show had to be stopped 4 times in the first set alone for various snags. Parker's love interest, Mary Jane, was supposed to be saved from atop the Chrysler Building, but part of the building was missing, and Mary Jane was nowhere in sight. As puzzled theater patrons looked around, Spider-Man, played by Reeve Carney, suddenly flew in with Mary Jane in his arms and put her down on the stage. He was then supposed to fly off at a dramatic end of the first act. Instead, Spider-Man got stuck in midair and swung back and forth over the crowd as 3 stagehands leaped up and down, futilely trying to grab onto one of his feet to haul him back to Earth.
Oh, man, they ought to fire somebody. You ever hear that Paul Anka outtake? You remember that one?
Oh, God, if this was the Paul Anka outtake.
What'd he do?
Paul, you never heard the Paul Anka outtake, huh?
Yeah, he's all going, the guys get shirts. The guys get shirts and everything. Wait a minute. I don't understand what you said. What did he do?
Paul Anka, you know the singer?
Yeah.
There's a famous tape of him in the dressing room that got out, and it's on a couple of CDs, where he's all bugged about the fact that the spotlight was wrong and the guys weren't wearing the right shirts and they missed a cue and they did this and they did that. And he's all just pissed off, and he's saying all this stuff like, You know, hey, is that your responsibility, Eddie? Yeah. It happens again, you're fired. Which, it basically sounds like me during any break.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, yeah, you were going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too, huh?
Well, I mean.
All right, well, anyway, nobody's stuck in my stuff on a CD so far. So Paul Anka had a live has a live show, and I imagine that if this were his live show, people would have died. I can't even. And then at one point, he even says something along the lines of, a plane is landing. Now, the pilot not only goes on instruments, he uses his eyes. This is what he's saying to his crew, because the crew was doing everything by the book. But what Anka was saying was, you don't only do it by the book. You have to watch. You have to see. You have to use your intuition. And
yeah, it sounds like you're sticking up for him now.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, if this had been his show, he wouldn't have even talked to anybody. He would have just opened up on him with an automatic weapon. Parker's love interest, Mary Jane, so she's dangling in the air. And then Parker's dangling, if you'll pardon the expression. And so another sticky situation involves Spider-Man nemesis Green Goblin. According to disgruntled audience members, as the Goblin, played by Patrick Page of Grinch fame, sat down at the piano for a scheduled number. How do you like that? The Goblin was going to sing, huh?
That sounds pretty good, you know.
Do you know the number?
No, I don't. So the Green Goblin is going to sit at the piano and play. Anyway, as the Green Goblin sat down at the piano for a scheduled number, he was left to continue playing on and on and on as stage workers openly rushed around to fix faulty equipment. Page finally started vamping it up for grateful audience members, riffing on the tune, I'll Take Manhattan. This is the best part of the whole show, grumbled theater-goer Steve Poisner of California. The production dragged for 3.5 hours. In its last 10 minutes, the show was completely stopped for at least half that time to work out kinks.
Well, maybe that's what they're doing on a rehearsal.
You think that's the rehearsal, huh?
Maybe.
So they invite the press and the audience, and everybody's there so people can come and see their rehearsal? Well, you know what? I hope they learned a lot from their rehearsal because they got the worst press. No, that ain't no rehearsal, man.
It could be.
Well, I'll tell you this much. No, I don't think so. I'll tell you this much, though. They better have learned a lot from it because they got their ass handed to them by the media, and the people hated it, and we're talking about it and laughing about it. And so I hope they got a good rehearsal in. Was Tangled or Burlesque able to compete with Harry Potter this weekend? We're going to find out in terms of movies. We'll get into the weekend box office. And WikiLeaks releases more documents. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and at philhendryshow.com with our live video cast right now. We have the weekend box office here.
Look at that. I see what I tell you about. See? Right there.
I see it, bud. Okay.
What are you putting that, man? Right here.
Big deal. So what?
So, Harry Potter off 60% from a movie that last week it was.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I'll see if I can find someone who can interpret that into English.
No kidding, man. No, you just don't want to talk about it.
So Harry Potter's off 60%, so what? He's all jazzed about the fact that he thinks Harry Potter sucks and it's down 60%. Do you know how much money they made last week? They broke records, dude. They're off 60%. They still made $50 million.
That's so? If people liked it, it wouldn't be off.
If people liked it, it wouldn't be off.
Man, it made $50 million. How much do you think people got up? What are you talking about?
You think that's got to go up in the positive numbers every week?
Yeah. You said Titanic did.
Yeah, Titanic did, okay? I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know how much money Harry Potter's making now as opposed to what Titanic made when it opened. But, and what was Titanic? Was that over 3 days?
Well, that was like a weekend. They had like a 4-day weekend or something. I forget. Like Veterans Day weekend or something.
I don't know, man. But their total gross, $219 million, man. One lousy week. They've been out 2 weeks. 2 weeks, $219 million.
Doesn't matter. People don't like it's down 60%, and Titanic didn't do that.
Oh, well, all right, bud. So your point being?
Titanic was more popular.
You know what? At the end of the day, you know,
No. Titanic more popular.
No, at the end of the day, we can see what the worldwide gross was. Titanic made over $1 billion. If Harry Potter busts that, then okay. If Harry Potter doesn't bust that, more to the point, then maybe I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. All I'm going to tell you is total gross, $219 million. This past weekend, they made $50 million. They're down 60% only because they didn't have another record-breaking weekend. What the hell do you want them to do? Break records every weekend?
You said that on account of it being positive.
Oh, man, you're making a big deal out of what I said. I said it's rare. It does indicate unusual audience interest when a movie goes like into plus figures each week. But it doesn't mean because a movie is going into negative figures that it stinks.
Well, then look at all of these. They all stink on wheels. Look at that one. That one there, that one there, that one there.
I see it, man.
That one over there. That doesn't mean they stink on wheels, man. Like Phil said, it's very rare if they go in a positive number. Well, how many been positive number?
I don't know, man. I don't keep records on that stuff. Here you go. Titanic opened December 19th, 1997, and it made $28.6 million. Second week, it made $35 million. Harry Potter's opening, you know how much it was?
Yeah, 125. So?
So, the Harry Potter's, you know, 125 million. That's a lie. That's its opening weekend, man.
Yeah, it's 13 years later. And you say Titanic go up. Harry Potter not go up. Harry Potter go down.
You know, where did you go to school, man?
No, no kidding, man. What?
You say Harry Potter go up.
It's easier to talk like that.
Easier to talk like a baby? Harry Potter went from 28 million to 35 million the second week. Excuse me, Titanic did. Harry Potter opened at 125 million. It went down to 50 million. Oh my God, Harry, you suck, man. I mean, you may be right. I don't know what if I was to adjust all of that for inflation or whatever has happened over the last 13 years, will we ever know? What's happened to the economy? Then you may have your point. All right, number two, will you get out of here with Harry Potter? Man, I'm wasting my freaking time on one movie. Number two, Tangled.
What's that about?
I don't know. Number three, Megamind. Megamind is down 21%. They were number two last week. They're number three this week. According to Bud, they probably stink. And the guy that directs the studio that it was made in should commit suicide, right?
Yeah, well, it's not doing gooder.
It's not doing gooder, huh?
Wow. You don't talk any better. You know what I mean.
So you should kill yourself, whoever is running. And also, those of you who Unstoppable, yeah, it's not unstoppable, man. Down 12%. You were number three last week. You're number five this week, so you stink. Now here is Love and Other Drugs debuting at number six, $9 million. Faster debuting at number seven, $8 million. Due Date debuting at number eight, $7 million. Oh, no, wait. It was number four last week. It's down 19%. Here is one. The Next 3 Days, down 28%. Morning Glory, down 24%. Get out. Everything stinks.
Yeah, except Titanic.
You know what, man? I don't even think you've seen Titanic. Have you seen Titanic?
Not really. But it's the principle involved in what you're saying about how, you know, if a movie go up.
Well, if you've not even seen the movie, man, you're sitting here talking all kinds of support for Titanic. You may have hated it, man. You know?
How could I hate it if what you said about it, where the ship sinks and everything?
Yeah, oh, really? The ship sinks. Get a load of that, Robert.
I didn't know that.
In the movie Titanic, a ship sinks, huh?
Shut up.
Hey, in the movie Titanic, the ship sinks.
Shut up.
Well, you shut up, man.
You shut up. You don't want to start all talking about Titanic.
And you ain't never even seen it? Let me tell you something, bud. I don't want to ruin it for you, but the ship sinks.
Yeah, well, you can't. It doesn't matter what you say. You'll never be able to talk bad about because of the money it made.
I ain't saying the Titanic didn't make money. I'm not saying that it's. I'm just telling you, it's too early to tell. I wouldn't know what these numbers mean, man. You know, one of the worst things that has ever happened, in my opinion, is that they actually release these numbers. These are numbers that are released out to us, the public. We don't know how to read this stuff. We don't look at this. Well, you know, you might as well show the Bible to an ape. That's what this stuff is to us. You know. I don't know. It says it made $49 million. Sounds like a lot of money to me, but there must be some guy over there at Warner Brothers Studio slitting his wrists over that. Here's Tangled. They made $50 million last week. $50 million, man, in their debut. Not last week, this week. $50 million. There's probably some guys, you know, he's not happy with that. All right, coming up, is The Hobbit racist? Not the actual Hobbit himself, but the production, the film. We'll get into a controversy with the upcoming Peter Jackson film coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Back in a moment here.
PhilHendryShow.com.
Right.
Phil Hendry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com, what?
Because it was on a queue.
What was on the queue?
I had... You at least do is go spoiler alert.
Are you kidding me, man? I had all on Netflix queue.
You had what on your Netflix queue?
I had Titanic on my Netflix queue, and you should say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert? You don't know that the ship sinks in Titanic?
Man, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm just saying, why do you say spoiler alert on account I had on Netflix?
You had it on Netflix. So now that you know the ship's gonna sink, you ain't gonna order it?
What's the point? I mean...
Let me ask you something, man. Seriously. Do you even know what Titanic is or was?
It's a ship. I know about that on account of the people said.
Yeah, it's a ship that sunk, man. That's why it's famous. It sunk.
It ain't famous, man, just because it's a ship.
I didn't know. Nobody said.
Nobody said. Nobody said? I bet you if you were awake when you were taking history, they would have said, Titanic sunk.
Okay. So, why can't you say spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert? Hey, spoiler alert, we bombed Hiroshima. How about that, huh?
Well, for people that aren't familiar.
Bud, look, man, I got to tell you, for people that aren't familiar, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean not familiar? So who am I talking to if I say, spoiler alert, we won World War II? Who am I talking to there?
It's the people that aren't familiar.
The people that aren't familiar, I hate to say this, but they must have IQs of like a single digit. You know.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you think that I'm of the Mongoloid on account of what you
say Mongoloid? I didn't say that, did I? I don't like that word either. I didn't say that, but I'm being facetious to make a point. You want me to say spoiler alert because of the Titanic sinking?
Yeah, there you did it again.
Look, bud, there isn't anybody on the planet. I can safely say there isn't anybody on the planet Earth other than you that didn't know the Titanic sunk.
Well, I gotta go back online now.
Yeah, you do that, man. You get online and cancel your Titanic, huh?
Man, are you crazy or something, man? Even the people that never seen a Titanic movie, they knew the Titanic sunk.
Oh, you interviewed all of them? You talked to everybody in the line?
No, but I mean, that's stupid, man.
I agree with Robert. I gotta tell you, everybody that went to see the movie Titanic knew the ship was gonna sink.
What's the point?
So you can see it sink. That's why, because the special effects in the movie were great. It showed you, and the other thing that was cool about the movie Titanic, it was based upon new archaeological, or whatever the hell they call it, on how it sunk.
What do you mean, how it sunk? What's that got to do with anything? People know it sunk.
No, man. No. They thought the Titanic went down in one piece. Well, when they went down there with the submarine, right, Robert?
Yeah, they had a camera on it, and they found, like, one piece over here, one piece over there, busted in half.
It busted in half, see?
Oh, wow, big deal.
You know, bud, for you to get disappointed, but I got to tell you something, man. Spoiler alert. Yeah, okay. Hey, bud, spoiler alert. Jesus died on the cross.
You're going to go to hell for that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
You shouldn't say that, man.
Well, what do you want me to say to this guy? Spoiler alert. You know that little baby that's born at Christmas time?
Yeah.
He's going to die on the cross.
What a bastard.
Get out of here. God. 877-876-PHIL. Unreal. That's why people went and saw it. That's why I don't even know why I went to see. Yeah, I went to see Titanic to see it sink. I can tell you that. I sure as hell didn't go to see Leonardo DiCaprio. And I ain't saying I don't like him. I like him a lot. But that's not really the big reason. You know, hey, Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, that changed my mind. I think I'll go see it now because Leo DiCaprio's in it. No. I hear that the ship, the way it sunk in the movie, it was awesome and it was realistic and it was this and it was that and it was something else. So I went to see it. God. All right, race controversy erupts over the Hobbit casting. If you're ready for this, this is amazing. It's not as controversial as you would think, though, but here we go. Peter Jackson's troubled the Hobbit project, and it's troubled for a couple of reasons. Was embroiled in a race controversy today over a casting agent sacked for telling a would-be extra she was too dark to play one of the pint-sized creatures. The independent contractor who made the comment... This is an independent casting agent, so these are people that are hired to cast extras. The independent contractor who made the comments and placed an advertisement in a local newspaper specifying female Hobbit extras should have light skin tones had been dismissed, a spokesman for Jackson's Wingnut Films said. The contractor has not been identified. No such instructions were given. So the contractor, the casting agent, was not given any of this instruction. The crew member in question took it upon themselves to do that, and it's not something we instructed or condone. The controversy erupted after Britton Naz Humphreys, who is of Pakistani heritage and actress, attended a casting session in the New England city of Hamilton last week. Standing in line for 3 hours, she was told her skin tone was not suitable. She told the Waikato Times in 2010, "I still can't believe I'm being discriminated against because I have brown skin." The casting manager basically said they weren't having anybody who wasn't pale skin. I don't know if it's that heavy, man. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, here's the thing. Oh, wow. We, you know, don't want a black hobbit. That's not basically, according to the book, and this is who they're quoting, they're J.R.R. Tolkien in the book The Hobbit. He said that the Middle Earth fantasy world where the hobbits live, they have various kinds of hobbits, including Harfoots, who were browner of skin than the others. So you do have hobbits that are browner of skin. Whether that means, I don't know what that means. You know,
maybe it means they're coal black. You know,
shut up, man.
You mean coal black? They didn't say that. They said browner of skin.
Yeah, well, what does that mean?
I don't know, but I don't want to do a spoiler alert, you know? You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, I better not say, man, that they got black hobbits.
I don't care. I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah, you're still going to be trying to get Titanic from Netflix. Tolkien described three races of hobbits inhabiting the Middle-earth fantasy world, which is the setting for the movie, including Harfoots, who are browner of skin than others. I don't know what the hell this is all about, but here's the thing. There was no instruction given in terms of casting these actors who should be short. The men, they're asking 5'7". The women, wait a second.
Yeah, man, that's discrimination.
It is. Well, the dirty, filthy, they're discriminating against like big people and stuff.
What are you talking about, man? You can't have no big hobbit.
I don't know. The guys that played the Hobbit in Lord of the Rings, those cats, they were regular-sized guys that they made small with special effects. So how does that feel? Anyway, the crew member in question has been dismissed from the show. So they fired this person, and they fired this person, I am guessing, to avert any and all untoward, even remotely untoward publicity. Because the fact of the matter remains that the Hobbits in this book are Harfoots are brown, the others are a lighter skin. So what are you doing? Aren't you casting? Aren't you having to make that judgment call as a casting director? I guess not, huh? Previously, this film had been stalled for years by wrangling over distribution rights, reported budget blowouts, and financial woes at the MGM studio, prompting director Guillermo del Toro to quit earlier this year. And it was taken over by Peter Jackson. So I guess either Jackson's company was doing the production, and then he said, okay, well, Toro quit, so I'm coming in. Or it was a whole different ballgame, and he came in, which I think is probably something they appreciate. Martin Freeman from The Office is the lead Bilbo Baggins.
How tall is he?
I don't know. It's a good question. How tall is Martin Freeman, Jace, if you can get that, you know, if you can get that information.
Do me a favor, will you?
What?
Don't tell me what Rosebud is.
What's Rosebud?
Never mind. It's a reference to Citizen Kane. What? What did I just... Who is? Oh, it's 5'7". Okay. So Martin Freeman's right on the edge then for a Hobbit, so he's the right size. It's funny how they... how they worked that out. All right. In the other big story of the day, and we, you know, sort of avoided it because it's to me, it's dull. Only political junkies, more to the point, political geeks, more to the point, dishonest little vermin, which is another word for political geek, are into this story. U.S. says leaks are a crime. They threaten prosecution. The WikiLeaks, striking back, the Obama administration branded the WikiLeaks release of more than 250,000 sensitive files an attack on the United States and raised the prospect of criminal prosecutions in connection with the exposure. That's the Obama administration. The Pentagon detailed new security safeguards, including restraints on small computer flash drives, to make it harder for any one person to copy and reveal so many secrets. The young Army PFC suspected of stealing the diplomatic memos, many of them classified, and feeding them to WikiLeaks, may have defeated Pentagon security systems using little more than a Lady Gaga CD and a portable computer memory stick. The soldier, Bradley Manning, has not been charged in the latest release of internal U.S. government documents, but officials said he's the prime suspect, partly because of his own description of how he pulled off the staggering. Not only should they prosecute this guy, they should prosecute him for treason. Treason. You know, we don't prosecute people for that anymore. Why is that? Well, it's a silly crime. It's silly? Really? Is it silly? Is it a silly crime if what this guy did perhaps puts people's lives at risk? If what this guy did perhaps compromises some level of security for our country, even if it means that we have to a whole set of procedures, systems, equipment, and start all over again? That's a real insignificant crime, huh? And the guy's bragging about it? You want to know why he's bragging about it? Because, oh, wow, he's Daniel Ellsberg, man. Because this is the Vietnam era. Because he missed the big anti-Vietnam party. Because there's a whole slew and generation of people alive today who want to be Robert Woodward and Carl Bernstein, and they ain't it. No one suspected a thing, Manning told a confidant afterward, according to a log of his computer chat published by Wired.com. I didn't even have to hide anything. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, asserted Monday that WikiLeaks acted illegally in posting the material. She said the administration was taking aggressive steps to hold responsible those who stole this information. I'm telling you, not only this kid, but anybody that received it, paid for it, knowingly published it, all of them. And then we'll hear all kinds of screaming and yelling from all kinds of people, which is fine. Sooner or later, you got to take a stand on this stuff. You know, I think it's a very fascinating exercise. President Obama, who was seen by so many as an anti-Bush or a guy who would be the antidote to the quote unquote Bush era paranoia, whatever that was. You see him and we predicted this. I mean, there isn't one thing he's doing that we didn't say he wouldn't do. You see him acting, and they've called him that, like another Bush. Well, no, he's acting like an American president. Maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe some of these people haven't figured that one out. Maybe they haven't figured out that this is serious business and that Obama as president has to take it seriously, and he is taking it seriously, and that some of the fair-haired darlings that they thought were, you know, that would have been embraced by the president, maybe they're going to get thrown into a federal prison. What do you think of that? I love it. Attorney General Eric Holder said the government was... You want to talk about whether or not there was waterboarding this and illegal that, and, you know, right here, man, here's the crime, okay? Forget about whether they were waterboarding people. And what did the Justice Department then say, as opposed to the Justice Department today? And, oh, yeah, you know, that guy they caught in Portland, man, like, you know, let's hope and pray that that they didn't waterboard anybody to get that information. Please, God, no. And the guy they caught in Portland over the weekend, this kid that was going to set off a gasoline bomb with screws. Let's hope that everything was by the book, because if it wasn't, they'll have to let him go. Anyway, Attorney General Eric Holder said the government was mounting a criminal investigation. The Pentagon was tightening access to information, including restricting the use of computer storage devices, blah, blah. Holder, listen, this is not saber rattling. Anyone found to have broken American law will be held responsible. We'll see. Holder said the latest disclosure involved classified and sensitive State Department documents, jeopardized the security of the nation, its diplomats, intelligence assets, and relationships with foreign governments. And Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, agreed. I hope they put a lot of people in prison for this. World famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. What are you looking at?
I just wonder if you messed up, because I was going to get Day of the Jackal.
You get out of here, Day of the Jackal.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You would, huh? Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have a story here that's kind of interesting about alcoholic. Now, get a load of the alcoholic whipped cream. And you like that, huh, bud?
Yeah. I would try alcoholic whipped cream only because I don't like alcohol or anything like that.
You don't drink, do you?
Uh-uh.
Do you drink, Robert?
Not really.
I'm the only one that drinks here? All right. So you don't drink? Why?
Just because it tastes nasty. But if they have alcoholic whipped cream, that'd be like, that's the reason why I want to try it on a Four Loko, too.
You know, this stuff about you don't like the way it tastes, you want to know why? Because you guys have been drinking garbage. What have you drunk that you don't like?
What? Just everything. Beer, everything.
I don't like the way, I don't like beer, I don't like any hard liquor. I don't like none of it.
Well, I'm not trying to get you to drink, but I often find when people say they don't like the taste of alcohol, it's because they've been drinking swill, so. But I'm telling you, alcoholic whipped cream?
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, how are you going to, let me ask you, what are you going to do with that?
What do you mean?
Alcoholic whipped cream. What are you going to do, just keep buying pieces of pie?
No, you take the canister and just sit down like you're going to watch TV and just, you know, just shoot it, just suck whipped cream into your mouth.
You're serious?
Well, you could do that.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, well, that's what you do. Just sit there and just, pzzz, you know, in your mouth. So funny.
Yeah, right. Sit down shooting whipped cream into your mouth. Are you high? All right. Well, anyway, this is in Orlando, Florida. Federal government ordered the makers of Four Loko to change its dangerous combination of caffeine and alcohol to something safer. However, it's not just beverages getting the controversial alcohol boost. It's whipped cream, too. A new product is filling the void. Now that Four Loko has been effectively banned nationwide, it's whipped cream infused with alcohol. Some of the new products are named Cream and Whipped Lightning. Some UCF students, University of Central Florida. What is with you guys, man? Everybody at University of this is the Louis Pasteur lab for getting ripped? Here are some UCF students talking to WFTV television about the new alcoholic product.
I think it's awesome. You throw it on some Jello shots, it'd be fantastic.
Not surprised. This is just a college. I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually shocked they didn't come up with it sooner.
I mean, if people already get high off of whipped cream bottles, you put alcohol into that mix, it's not exactly a good combination. Regular whipped cream people don't use in moderation, so alcoholic whipped cream, I don't know if that'd be a good idea.
Well, you gotta huff it, too.
Huff what?
The whipped cream bottle.
Oh, God. The products are also popular in Massachusetts. Here's a Boston area student telling My Fox Boston that there's no real controversy over the alcoholic whipped cream.
You know, my friends who have talked about it have said, you know, oh, maybe I'll buy it just for fun to see what it's, you know, all about. But I don't think anyone's taking it too seriously. I think people are making it a big deal because it's the new alcoholic product since the ban of Four Loko. And they're so different. So I think that I don't think one will replace the other.
Yeah, but on account of the huffing.
You're great. I got the huff part. All right. Leslie Nielsen, finally, of Naked Gun fame, as you know, passed on at the age of 84 this weekend.
The stewardess said, both pilots.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
So there's that famous line from Airplane. And here is Nielsen in The Naked Gun, as he tries to console a grieving wife at her husband's hospital bedside.
Good cop. Needlessly cut down an ambush by some cowardly hoodlums.
There's no way for a man to die.
Yeah, you're right, Ed. A parachute not opening, that's a way to die. Getting caught in the gears of a combine. That's the way I want to go.
Oh, this is terrible.
Don't you worry, Wilma. Your husband is going to be all right. Don't you worry about anything. Just think positively. Never let a doubt enter your mind.
He's right, Wilma. But I wouldn't wait until the last minute to fill out those organ donor cards.
What I'm trying to say is that, Wilma, as soon as Nordberg is better, he's welcome back at police squad.
Unless he's a drooling vegetable. But I think that's only common sense.
So Leslie Nielsen, you know, started his career as a serious actor. He was in the film The Forbidden Planet back in the 50s. He found his best dramatic role as the captain of the overturned ocean liner in the 1972 disaster movie The Poseidon Adventure. And he became known as a serious actor, although behind the camera, he was a prankster. He was 84 years of age. He died of pneumonia in Fort Lauderdale. And I dug him on that show, Police Squad.
Yeah, I've seen they got that on DVD.
Police Squad was the television
birth of Naked Gun, and ABC canceled Police Squad because, well, they're a network, and what do they know about, you know, good TV? And so it gets canceled, and the guys just decided to make a movie out of it, and they just made a few million dollars, so way to do it. Like NBC with Star Trek. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wygant. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft, and our website, philhendryshow.com, for all your Phil Hendry needs.
Phil Hendry.